Good afternoon. My name is Crystal, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the NBPE Investor Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Peter Von Lehe, you may begin your conference.
Hello, this is Peter Von Lehe from Neuberger Berman, and welcome to the NB Private Equity Partners Investor Update Call. I'm joined today by my colleagues John Boozer and Paul Daggett. You can find the presentation that we will be using today on our website, www.nbprivateequitypartners.com. NBPE is managed by NB Alternatives, the private equity arm of Neuberger Berman. Here at NB Alternatives, we've been actively investing in the private equity asset class for more than 26 years. We manage over $19 billion of commitments in private equity across a range of strategies, including primary fund investing, secondary fund investing, direct equity co-investments, and direct yielding investments. NBPE benefits from Neuberger's capabilities in each of these areas. Turning to page two of the presentation, you can see that NBPE is a closed-end investment company providing investors with a diversified exposure to the private equity asset class and the opportunity for both capital gains as well as predictable current income. NBPE is listed on the LSE and the Euronext. 57% of our NAV is currently in direct investments, both equity and debt. And we expect this percentage to continue to increase over time as we make more direct investments and continue to have realizations from our fund investment portfolio. NBPE has a policy of paying sustainable dividends. We've paid 41 cents per share of dividends so far this year. We have an annualized cash yield of 4.7% on our shares based on our share price and 3.4% based on our NAV. We have on a run rate basis, our dividend is currently 80% covered by the contractual cash yield from our direct yielding investments, and we expect our dividend to be 100% covered on a run rate basis either by the end of this year or early in 2014. We are pleased with how NBPE has been progressing so far this year, and you can see some of our highlights on page three. Our total return NAV per share, which is our NAV increase plus the dividends, has increased by 8% in the first 10 months of this year on a net basis. We've had strong performance from our direct investment portfolio in 2013, with early liquidity from two 2012 equity co-investments and one 2011 equity co-investments, which had dividend recapitalizations. Also, we had the IPO of a 2011 equity co-investment in October of this year. We also had the sale of CPG International, a direct yielding investment, which generated $18.8 million in total proceeds to NBPE, including both the cash that we received upon realization as well as prior income that we've received in terms of the interest income. This investment was realized approximately one year after the original investment. Our direct investments have increased from 37% of NAV at December of last year to 57% of NAV as of the end of October. And 30% of our NAV is in direct yielding investments with a 9.5% cash yield and a total yield to maturity of 11.9%. This generates a run rate income of $16.4 million, which covers 80% of our annual dividend. We also have a very cash generative fund portfolio, which is funding our new investment activity, and 70% of our distributions so far this year have come from our funds portfolio, while 93% of the new investments we've made have been in direct investments. So now I'd like to hand it over to my colleague Paul Daggett, who will go through some of the financial details for NBPE.
Thank you, Peter. So turning to page four, we have a NAV update as of October 2013. On the bottom right, some of the cash flow information. As Peter says, there's been a great deal of activity with $144 million of capital calls, 93% of that from direct investments that we've made, and we've also received $118 million of distributions to us, and 70% of that has been from funds. So a great deal of activity there. What that means in terms of net asset value, you can see on the left-hand table. First of all, those fund investments have decreased over that period by $42 million, whereas direct yielding investments have increased by $97 million, equity co-investments have increased by $34 million, leading to 53% of fair value today being in those direct investments. So that's obviously been in line with our strategy and everything we've been telling you throughout the year. Cash, we've been managing closely. You can see it has fallen a little bit as we get towards our target of being completely invested. We did draw down the credit facility during the month. The reason we did that was really due to timing of cash flows. Some of the amounts we knew were coming in from realizations, we weren't exactly sure of the date, so we did that as an additional cushion. We have maintained that net positive cash balance, though, you'll see during the period. At the bottom of the page, we have some of the net asset value per share information. So the NAV per share has increased 4.5% over that period by 53 cents. And as Peter said, the net asset value per share, including dividends, has increased by 8% over that period. So that's by 94 cents in total. So we're pleased with the performance that we've seen year to date as of October. Looking at some of the diversification on page 5 of the presentation, first of all, on the left-hand side, you'll see where we are today, 53%, as I mentioned, in direct investments. That's 29% in direct yielding, which now makes it the largest single asset class within the portfolio, whereas we have 15% in mid-cap buyout co-investments and 9% in large-cap buyout co-investments. Those three together get you to that 53%. Obviously, the importance of the direct yielding investment, we've stressed that we have the goal of getting to 100% dividend coverage by the end of the year or beginning of next year. So far, we are moving in line with that, and we feel very good about the portfolio we're building. And in terms of geography, we covered a little bit in our August call the reasons that we've continued to overweight North America. One thing I would add is that we are still doing that. But, you know, through our co-investment program in particular, we do have the ability to change that as the environment changes. At the moment, we feel very good about where we have that geographic weighting within the portfolio. Moving to slide 6, we are illustrating here that this is a relatively young portfolio. 55% of it was invested since 2010, and only 77% of it has been invested post the financial crisis. So it's a younger portfolio, and you can see on the right, more specifically what we've done since 2010, 24% of the fair value is in co-investments, and 46% of it has been invested in direct-yielding investments, bringing us to 70% directs, which has been invested since that period. Just to note that the other amounts which have gone into funds are not new commitments to funds. They are capital calls from the legacy portfolio, which was invested prior to the 2010 period. So with that, I will hand over to John to cover the more recent portfolio activity.
Thanks, Paul. You know, as Peter and Paul have both mentioned, our strategy has been, and as we've mentioned in previous calls for quite some time, to move more into direct investments. And you can see if you turn to page 7, the impact of that on the capital calls on the left-hand bar chart. So you can see the $110 million in the blue on the bar chart is the cash activity for this year, where we've invested in direct yielding investments, and $24 million into equity co-investments. So the predominant part of our activity has been in that direct investment activity as we rebalance the portfolio according to our goals. The right side, which are the distributions that Paul spoke about specifically, of $117.7 million, and Paul also talked about the vitality of our program with many, many younger investments, that's possible as our older investments mature. And so you can see the $81.9 million, the biggest part of the distributions to date, have come from fund investments, as those funds are in their liquidation phases as they wind down the different assets within the portfolio. Also, if you think about the $117.7 million as a percentage of our beginning of year NAV, which is 564, 21% of the distributions equal 21% of our beginning year NAV. So you see a very rapid turnover and consistent turnover of our portfolio, giving us a chance to attack the best investment opportunities in today's market. If you flip on to page 8, it highlights the trends as well, a couple of which are quite important. First of all, these three quarters of distributions total to the 117.7 on the previous page. And if you look at, for example, the right-hand column, the 20.9, the dark box in the middle of that column, those are distributions from special situations funds. And as you look back across the left, you'll see $18 million and $8.2 million prior distributions of special situations funds. for a total of 47.1. So those funds are yielding lots of cash to us. The other important thing to notice from these bar charts is the lowest parts of the bar chart reflect our direct yielding activity and the cash coming back from our direct yielding activity. And you can see, looking at the right-hand chart for the third quarter plus October, you can see the first three parts of that, 15 million, 5.5, and 3 million, all coming back from our direct yielding activities. So that is a very much a growing, rapidly growing, and recurring aspect of how we position the portfolio today, which goes to the point that both Peter and Paul emphasized, our ability to fully cover our dividend distributions out of cash flow from the direct yielding portfolio. So the next two pages, 9 and 10, we always cover our new equity co-investments, our new direct yielding investments during the year. For this year, for this last quarter in particular, our three new direct investments have all been direct yielding investments, which are described on page 10. So if we could turn to that, the three new investments are all were made in October and are on the right-hand side of that sheet. And these investments, for the year, we've done $110 million of direct yielding investments, totaling 18.3% of NAV, as we position the portfolio with greater direct yielding investments. So the first of the three investments during October was Arkoma. It is a specialty chemicals provider, and it's a global provider to the textile, paper, and emulsion sectors. We like this particular piece of paper, which is a first lien note, because the particular specialty chemicals tend to be a critical but very low-cost component of the final product that each of the customers are providing, and there's significant switching costs. And so we think there's going to be a very high recurring revenue base to that company, has been demonstrated by it in the past. So that was an investment we've included in the portfolio. Second from the right is Digital Insight. Digital Insight is a company in which we also have an equity investment. It's a financial technology and software company that provides the front end to your online banking on your mobile phone, and it has about 1,100 financial institutions and 11 million end users. So that again is a company that has a high cash flow from its operations, and because of very low capital expenditures required in the business. So again, we felt that was an excellent investment to include in the portfolio. And then the third and most recent is a senior secured term loan to Parsley Energy. It's an E&P company in the Permian Basin that has quite a lot of daily production of oil. And that particular company has a very low leverage rate overall and a very attractive yield. And so we included that in the portfolio as well. So these are three new investments. As you can see, they're from anywhere from 1% to 3% of the NAV of MBPE as we continue to increase the amount of our current cash flow from those investments. Flipping on to page 11, it talks about our capital position at MBPE, and as you know, throughout the entire history of MBPE, we've been very focused on maintaining a very strong capital position. Monitoring and maintaining that strong capital position becomes easier for us as we include more direct investments and have fewer unfunded commitments. So if you look maybe to start on the right, the unfunded commitments as we sit today are $218.1 million. If you look at the fourth of the numbers there, it's the fund commitments to, or the unfunded commitments to fund investments of $85.1 million, and highlighted right below that on the right is $48.7 million of those are commitments that are unfunded to funds that are past their investment period and are in liquidation mode. So we expect some significant portion of those not to be called, as expenses will be covered out of cash flows from investments in those funds. Looking back to the left side of the page, it's our capital position. So our total capital resources include the cash balance that Paul described at $42.6 million and $190 million of the available $200 million credit facility, so total cash availability of $232.6 million, so substantially in excess of the $218.1 of unfunded commitments. And also just keep in mind the high cash generation of the portfolio. So all in all, we're in a very, very strong cash position. And with that, I will turn it over to Peter.
Thanks, John. As we've mentioned, we have a policy of paying predictable and sustainable dividends from the income that we receive from our direct yielding portfolio. As you can see on page 12, we have over approximately $180 million of direct yield investments, have a cash yield of 9.5% and a total yield of 11.9%. Now, this cash yield generates $16.4 million of cash income per annum, which about 80% covers our annual dividend on a run rate basis. Our goal, as we've stated before, is to have the dividend fully covered by the cash yield from our yielding portfolio, and we expect that to happen either by the end of this year or early in next year. However, we will remain disciplined and only make investments that we believe are of high quality and offer an appropriate risk-return balance. Our dividend currently represents a 3.4% yield on NAV and a 4.7% dividend yield based on our share price. We believe this compares favorably with the dividend yields of many closed-end credit funds, which do not also have NBPE's opportunity for capital appreciation. Turning to page 13, you can see the, NBPE's share price progression and NAV progression over the last 12 months. Over the last 12 months, the NBP share price has increased by 14.4%, and our NAV per share has increased, including dividends, has increased 11.7%. On page 14, you can see the performance of our ZDP shares. The ZDPs have continued to trade at a significant premium to their net asset value and currently have a GRY of 4.2% based on the prevailing market price. On page 15, you can see some of the trading liquidity statistics for our ordinary shares. We've had 33.6 million shares traded year to date. That was 11.8 million shares traded on exchange and 21.8 million shares traded over the counter. This results in average daily trading volume of 52,000 shares on exchange or 148,000 shares per day, including the over the counter trades. So in summary, we believe NBPE offers a compelling investment opportunity, an experienced investment manager with a long-term track record in direct investing, a high-quality equity co-invest in direct yielding portfolios, which are funded by a mature and cash-generative portfolio of high-quality private equity fund investments. And importantly, we have the policy of paying a sustainable, well-covered dividend with a 4.7% dividend yield based on the current share price. So thank you very much for your attention, and would like to open up to any questions that you may have.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star one if you would like to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of Ben Eisler from LGT Capital Partners.
Hi, guys. This is Ben from LG Capital Partners. I have a few questions regarding the corporate debt investments. Does NB only invest in the debt of companies in which it has an equity investment, or does it also source debt investments from other companies not part of the PE portfolio? And then, kind of long-term, how should I think about the steady-state allocation of the portfolio in terms of a split between equity and debt investments? So kind of how is the split going to look like, let's say, 2 years from now?
Sure. So taking those questions in order, if you look at our debt portfolio or the direct yielding portfolio, you really divide that into two categories. There's our corporate debt portfolio, which is the junior debt of private equity-backed companies. And then separately, there's our healthcare credit portfolio. So let me take those one at a time. In terms of the corporate debt portfolio, all of the companies that we are providing debt to are private equity-backed companies. However, we do not necessarily need to be an investor in the equity of those companies, either directly or indirectly, but those all are private equity-backed transactions because those are areas One, we think are lower risk than other corporate debt opportunities of with similar credit metrics because of all of the value add that private equity managers can bring to a portfolio company as well as the quality of corporate governance they can have. In addition to that, though, because of the depth and breadth of our private equity business, we believe that we can do a better job of sourcing those sorts of transactions as well as having more information about those transactions. And so, therefore, we can do a better job of underwriting those. So we think they're just objectively better types of transactions, but also one where, frankly, we have a comparative advantage. But we do not necessarily have to own the equity to be investing in the debt. And we've done both companies where we have equity and ones where we do not. In terms of our health credit area is a separate area. We have a dedicated team of people that are experts in the healthcare credit and focused on intellectual property-backed healthcare, whether it's royalty streams or corporate credits where the corporate credit is backed by intellectual property. Those are ones where there is not necessarily a private equity involvement, and in fact, ours is oftentimes the only institutional capital there, but that's a different strategy where there's a specific team of technical experts on our side that execute on that. In terms of the split between the equity and debt in our portfolio down the road, that will be very much dependent on market conditions, and that will be very much dependent on the individual opportunities that we are seeing on a bottoms-up basis. And so that will be the primary driver. We think we have strong deal flow on both the equity and the debt side. And importantly, we think that the percentage of equity and debt can vary materially over time based upon, you know, which is more attractive on a relative basis. Having said that, if we had to make a prediction today what the average would be over the long term, our estimation today is that it would be roughly 60% in the equity side, 40% in the debt side. But as I say, that can vary materially, you know, at any given point in time.
Okay, thanks.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. Your next question comes from the line of Dennis Eckhart from Winterflow. So your line is open. Please ensure that you do not have your line on mute.
Hi, this is Dennis Eckhart at Winterflood. It was just a quick one, really. I was just wondering, in terms of the direct yielding investments, what's the split between credit investments that are sort of paying floating rate coupons and more just, you know, fixed coupons?
Thank you very much. I think the question was the percentage of floating rate versus fixed rate. You can see actually on page 20 of the deck, we actually show each of the underlying positions that we have in the portfolio, and you can see which of those we actually show case by case, which ones are floating rate and which ones are fixed, and so you can actually see that sort of on a line item by line item basis. A significant majority of those in the corporate debt area are floating rate. In fact, the only one that is fixed rate, I believe, from those are some elements of the first pick, and then also the Evans security is fixed rate. The CPG, which we had a realization on earlier, was also fixed rate. I believe all the rest are floating. And then a majority of substantially all of the healthcare credits are fixed rate as well. Paul, do you have these specific breakout?
Don't break down.
We can provide that separately, but it's the vast majority of, as say, a vast majority of the corporate is floating rate, and a majority of the healthcare is fixed rate.
Sure, no, that's fine. Thanks.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 1. There are no other questions in the queue at this time.
Great. Well, thank you very much, everyone. We appreciate your attention today, and please feel free to contact us with any additional questions you may have.
This does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.